Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks that we are children of God. Lord, when we go through suffering and disease and illness and those things that the world likes to say, well, where is your God in all these things? Lord, help us to remember this truth, that even though our pilgrimage is here in this world, our home is in heaven. We belong to the church triumphant. We are saints made holy by your blood, even as we live in this sinful coil. Lord, may your word teach us this day to know that we are blessed, to know that you are triumphant, and therefore we have victory. Lord, may we be people who pray with boldness, who trust in your power to heal and your power of victory over sin, Satan, and the things that bother us in life. We pray, Lord, that you would make us ever mindful of your truth in this word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, welcome to All Saints Sunday 2017. It's an amazing week, you know. When in the middle of the week, we celebrate on Tuesday, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, right? 500 years since Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses, whether he nailed them or stuck them to the door, which was seemed to be an issue on the radio for some reason when I was listening on Tuesday. Does not matter, just so you know. It doesn't matter. Crazy glue, I don't know, whatever he used, it doesn't matter. But on the next day, the reason he posted them on October 31st, on the next day, which was All Saints Day, they would be gathering at the Castle Church to have a debate. And he was basically placing out what was going to be debated. And their debate was going to be on purgatory, on indulgences. And it was this was something that was very important. And so we recognize All Saints Day is very important to us. All Saints Day is a day that we, at least I in my life, have always felt was really important to remember who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ, that we are bigger than what we think, what we feel, what we see. We live in a materialistic world, and sometimes we only think about what is before us, what we can touch and what we can see, right, and what we can hear. And it's interesting because I was in Winnipeg this week, and my cousin says to me, he says, I want to come to Ann Arbor. And that's kind of funny because normally they don't like to travel. And so I said, why do you want to come to Ann Arbor? He says, because I want to go to a football game. And I said, why do you want to go to a football game? I mean, college football is nothing in Canada. Because I want to go to that big house that you're talking about. And I want to be there when there's over 100,000 people in one place. Because that sounds awesome. Remember, he's from Winnipeg, okay? Not in one place. There's only a million people in the whole province, so, you know. But he wants to see that crowd of people, and I thought it was a great invitation for me to again, pontificate about the fact that isn't it wonderful when we know that we're Christians, that we know we are part of that great cloud of witnesses, that we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, that we are part of the church triumphant, and 100,000 is just a tiny, minute, little segment of who we are, of what we are part of. Isn't that awesome? That's why All Saints Day is so important, is because it reminds us that even though we only see a small, little, tiny, infinite, little, tiny portion of who we are as children of God, we are part of that multitude. I didn't get Tom to read that text from Revelation, but we'll look at it. It says a multitude of every nation that they couldn't even count. So John used the biggest number he could think of in Jewish thought, which was 12 times 12 times 1,000, which is the ultimate number of infinity. It's an infinity, right? So he was thinking infinity, and so he said there were 12,000 from each tribe. So 12,000 times 12 tribes, 144,000 was the more than he can imagine. And so it's really important for us to take time on All Saints Day to think about who we are as children of God and what it means to be children of God. Because as the author of 1 John, says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, this is the version that I had to memorize. So when I know the version that Tom read was a little different, but this is the version I had "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is who we are." How many of you had to memorize that version? It's a little different than the version that we have here. Because in 1 John 3, 1-3, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." And right there, this should get us, this should stop us in our tracks to just ponder and think what that means. Because for the people to whom Jesus was speaking, to the people to whom John is speaking, who have been brought into faith through Jesus, this is something to think of themselves as children of God. Because for us to think, you know, we've heard it so many times in our life, it doesn't really pop out at us. But for people who didn't think of themselves as being that affluent, being that, exceptional, this is something that is truly exceptional. That we should be called children of God. And he repeats it, "so we are." Like as if you didn't get enough pop out of "we are called children of God," he goes, "and so we are." Make no mistake. And then he says something that I think is really important. He says, "the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." What is he talking about there? What is he saying? The reason why the world does not know us is, his presumption is that people in the world are not going to get what we mean when we say we're children of God, right? They're going to look at us and say, "well, you still have issues. You're not so great. You still have problems. You still suffer. You're not this child of God. Children of God wouldn't have all these issues." Right? Isn't that, have you ever heard people say that? "Why do you believe in God? What has it done? What has he done for you lately?" You never heard that? I've heard that. You know, I don't know why you believe all this stuff, because it doesn't seem to make a difference. You're still struggling with, like everybody else. You're still doing this or doing that. And I think that that's because they don't get to see the miracles that the Lord does every day, and they don't believe them. So even if you tell them, even if you exhibit it, they don't believe it, because they're blind. But the reason he says this is to help the people to whom he's writing understand that they will never get people out in the world to appreciate what we're celebrating here on All Saints Sunday. You're never going to get people to really appreciate it or celebrate it, because it's not something that they understand. They don't know Jesus. Someone tried telling me not too long ago, this was an interesting discussion, that the reason they didn't like preaching from 1 John was that many people use 1 John as a universalistic approach to the love of God. You know what I mean by that? They say that John isn't specific enough, and the way he talks about God is love, people could honestly believe that you don't really need to have a relationship with God, or that everybody, God loves everybody, so there won't be anybody going to hell. That's universalism. And they didn't like preaching from 1 John because they thought people would hear it like it's a universalistic teaching. And yet, how can you do that? How can you read that and read that second part of verse 1 there and believe that? The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So what is he saying? He says that the people outside of the church, outside of faith, are not children of God because they don't know him. That's not universalistic. That's truth. Understand? And so what's important here is to understand that as long as we're in the church militant, we're always going to struggle explaining to people that we're also in the church triumphant, right? It's like when I began the service, I said, "Welcome sinners, welcome saints." People who are bound by reason find this very, very frustrating. That's one of the reasons they don't like Lutherans. They say Lutherans are funny. They say that, you know, they say things that it doesn't make any sense. They say things that are outside of reason. And I believe that there's a lot of things in the Bible that are outside of reason, don't you? How can Jesus be present here and in heaven at the same time? That makes sense? How can he speak through his mighty living word? That makes sense? Lots of things don't make sense because they're not logical. They're not, reason does not define us. So when we talk about being in the church militant, can you guys say this with me? Church militant.
Church
Can you guys say over here, church triumphant? Try this again. You are going to say for me what?
Church militant.
And you're going to say for me what?
Church
triumphant. Yeah, you can even raise your arms. That's a good way because you are the church triumphant. Okay, so when we're struggling with people who don't understand us because we say we're children of God and they say, you don't have it so great. What's your God done for you lately? You say, we are on a pilgrimage because we are the church
militant.
But we're also part of the church. You see, God wants us to understand that while we're on our pilgrimage here, we are going to suffer. We are going to go through persecution. Didn't he say that in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who suffer. When you're persecuted and people say all kinds of evil against you because of me, your reward is great because you're blessed. And so when we recognize that, we don't have a problem saying, yes, we're going to struggle on this side of heaven. Yes, we are part of the church. But the good news is that even as we're part of the church militant, we're also part of the church. And that's where the victory comes, right? That's where the healing comes. That's where the supernatural things that show up happen. Because we got a foot in both worlds. And I'll tell you something, when those worlds are further apart, when we're not living in that kingdom that we're supposed to be living in, it gets very painful. I'm not going to go any further because it's very painful. But when you're trying to live in those two worlds, it's painful. And so what he's trying to teach us and what's so important about Saints Day is to remember that we are part of the church militant, so we can face up to those things. We can say we're going to have those things. We may get persecuted. We may go through times where we suffer, but we always know that even in the midst of those times, our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven, and we're part of the church triumphant. And then he says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when it appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. That's why we use the word saint. Part of the reason people get frustrated with us as Lutherans is when we say, welcome sinners, welcome saints, is because they have a different definition of a saint, right? How many of you know this? How many know that there are people who have a different definition of a saint? What do we mean when we say saint? We are forgiven, we are holy, right? Sanctus, holy. We are holy, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. He has made us holy. That's why it says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We are saints, and that's hard, again, for people to understand. For example, the Reformation reminds us that we are in the church militant. This is one area where we agree with our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. Pope Pius said this in 1953, we belong to the church militant, and she is militant because on earth the powers of darkness are ever restless to encompass her destruction. We agree with that. One of the things we agree with, right? And what do you think about that picture with a church with tank tracks? You like that? Pardon me?
Mm-hmm.
No.
We are fighting against the spiritual forces.
Yes.
Of darkness, and we are inviting diligently all human beings,
yes,
into the love of Christ. Would that be?
That's correct. I'm thinking of Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. I'm thinking of the great hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. I'm thinking of the fact that we are in a war, but we've already won the victory. But we still have to deal with the fact that the demons and the world have not fully understood that, right? So I also think it's important to recognize in our gospel lesson what it says about children of God. It says we are children of God, peacemakers. What does it say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. I always think this is interesting because it doesn't say peacekeepers. You notice that? It says what? Peacemakers. And who made peace between us and God? Jesus. So who are children of God? People who believe in Jesus, who are bought with his own blood. So it's important to remember that, because sometimes we read that and we naively think it's peacekeepers and it's peacemakers. And the only one that can make peace with God is Jesus. He's the once for all sacrifice. So this is why we celebrate who we are, children of God, because Jesus has made peace for us. This is where we differ from our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters in that we are now children of God. We are covenant and kingdom people, part of the church triumphant now. See, the difference between what we say when we say sinner and saint is that there are many churches, not just Roman Catholics, but there are other churches, who believe that saints are people who are given that privilege by the church. That not all believers are saints. So when we say we're all saints, it doesn't make sense, right? It sounds very, very proud or very, it doesn't make sense to people who understand saints as being, it's a progression. Then after you die, there has to be certain things that happen in order for you to be a saint. But we say we're saints already, right? Because we're made holy by the blood of Christ. And so that's where we differ. So we're standing before the throne and the Lamb. That's the verse from Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders addressed me, asking, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the kingdom will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." For us who are covenant people, we recognize that our identity is given to us by the Father, and out of that flows our obedience, right? And as kingdom people, we recognize that we have authority and power because of who we are who we are as kingdom people. So brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today as we celebrate All Saints Day is a reminder of who we are, that we are sinners and saints at the same time, that we belong to the church, but especially we belong to the church. And therefore, when Satan tries to tell us we are not children of God because things aren't going well as we sojourn in the church, we say to him, "But we are not just part of the church, Milton. We are also part of the church. Because we belong to God and we are children of the living God." It may sound boring and it may sound like it's a lot of technical things, but this is really important, brothers and sisters, because you are kingdom people. We are kingdom people. We are children of the living God, and God wants us to experience all the things he has for us. He wants us to see miracles happen. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to see his authority and power lived out in our lives each and every day, doesn't he? And if we just believe that we're part of the church militant and we're just struggling and we don't have the victory of being part of the church triumphant, it destroys the joy that we're supposed to have as people of the living, as children of the living God. And then finally, someone would say, "Well, why do you say that when you say that we're part of the church triumphant and yet you know that what John was experiencing?" Can you imagine? John wrote this letter to the church. Remember we read the 1 John chapter 3? He wrote this letter to the church, to the members of the church, many believe before the revelation. And I just read to you Revelation 7. Do you think it was something awesome for him to experience when, after writing about the fact that it has not appeared, and when he appears, we will see who we really are? Can you imagine what it must have been like for him on the island of Patmos as he receives this vision to see that multitude standing before the throne? See those angels, or the saints with white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him? It's kind of like I learned many things in science. I was telling them this morning in biology, I learned all about proteins and all these things that happen in your body. But then I watched a documentary a while back called The Case for Christ. It was a documentary on the book The Case for Christ. And in it, or The Case for the Creator, sorry. Case for the Creator. And in it, Lee Strobel had gotten an amazing, what do you call it? Like, it's not a cartoon, but it's animation. An amazing animation of how impressive the body is inside, how one protein works within the body and how it works like a machine and how technical it is. And I remember thinking, I read about this, I knew about this, but when I saw it in that color and in that amazing 3D, I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is what God has made. This is His creation. And it just became so much more alive to me. Well, can you imagine what it must have been like for John as he writes about how it has not appeared yet? And then he goes down to Patmos, and all of a sudden, in full glory, in full color, he gets to see where the church triumphant is really. And that's why I said, isn't it going to be amazing when we're transferred to the church triumphant? Isn't it going to be amazing that we can only imagine now what we're going to experience then? We can only imagine now when we get our little glimpse of it, having it worshiping together and experiencing the Lord's Supper together, we get a little glimpse of it. But what is it going to be like when we get to finally be transferred to the church triumphant forever? That's why we remember the people that have gone before us, because they're there celebrating. And I know people like to think, well, they're kind of keeping track of us. But I'm going to tell you, when I get there, I'm going to be focused on Jesus. I'm going to be focused on the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the whole world and mine. I'm going to be worshiping the Lord in His presence and basking in His glory. That's what I want to do. When I get there, sorry, I know I'm going to probably wonder what happened, what's happening with my kids, but I'm not going to be looking at them. I'm just going to be waiting for them to meet me in glory, but I'm going to be focused on Jesus because I can't wait. It is going to be awesome, don't you think? Be like the best worship experience ever. So praise God that we can celebrate just a glimpse of that on All Saints Day. May it be for us each and every day. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that even though we sojourn in the church militant and it does get us down sometimes, sometimes we feel like we're all alone. Sometimes we just need to go to the big house. And what Hebrews talks about, the being surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Sometimes we just need to experience Your power and Your presence together so that we recognize we're not alone. But even though we're part of that church militant that struggles each and every day, that struggles with sin, that struggles with this coil, this body, Lord, we recognize that we are also saints made holy by Your blood, and we are indeed children of the living God. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are waiting for that day when we will see You in all Your glory. Whether You come back to take us all home or whether we get to go to see You before that, Lord, we trust that as Your children, we are waiting for that wonderful day when we will see You in all Your glory and be part of that multitude of every nation, tribe, and language that that cannot even be numbered because it is so amazing. Lord, help us to catch that glimpse today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.